Shri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Netai Gora Brahmanandi. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 86, Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra, text number 9. Is that right? Mahatyam Devayatrayam Ratastam Durga Nirgatam Jaharanu Mata Pitroho Krishnasya Cha Maharataha Mahatyam Devayatrayam Ratastam Durga Nirgatam Jaharanu Mata Pitroho Krishnasya Cha Maharataha Mahatyam important Deva for the Supreme Lord. Yatrayam during a festival. Ratha on a chariot. Stham riding. Durga from the fortress. Nirgatam having exited. Jahara. He seized her. Anumataha. Sanctioned. Pitraho. By her parents. Krishnasya. By Krishna. Cha. And. Maharataha. The mighty chariot warrior. Once on the occasion of a great temple festival in honour of the Supreme Lord, Subhadra rode out of the fortress-like palace on a chariot, and at that time the mighty chariot warrior Arjuna took the opportunity to kidnap her. Subhadra's parents and Krishna had sanctioned this. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti identifies this festival as the annual Rath Yatra for Lord Vishnu on the occasion of his rising from mystic sleep at the end of Chaturmasya. Subhadra's parents are Vasudev and Devaki. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gunanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmahe Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kodamaheyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langthayate Gedim Yat Kripa Tamaham Mande Shri Guru Dinatarinam. So, Mahatyam Deva Yatrayam. Arjuna took advantage of the occasion of the Ratha Yatra of Lord Vishnu. Oop. Just locked everybody out. That's good. To kidnap Subhadra. Although, strictly speaking, at least from our understanding of what a kidnapping is, this is not really a kidnapping because it's already been arranged beforehand that and we know that because here it says Jaharanu Mata Pitto that he seized her. But anumataha, it means following the wishes or following the desires. Anumataha means following the desires of Pitraho, her parents. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is quoted here as identifying Subhadra's parents as Vasudeva and Devaki. Although there are in other places it's mentioned that actually Subhadra is the daughter of Rohini. So at least, of course, we can understand, in in guardianship, if you like, then it's not unusual for one to call the wife of the husband that one happens to be living with as mother, even if it's not one's natural mother. So Vasudeva and Devaki, in collaboration with or in cooperation with Krishna, have encouraged Arjuna to steal Subhadra away from the procession. And it's interesting because here it mentions Durga Nirgatam. Ratastam Durga Nirgatam. She's mounted on a chariot, but she's leaving the Durga Nirgatam, leaving the fortress-like palace. So it appears that in a festival like this, Arjuna has a better chance of getting away than he would have if he tried to steal her from the palace, because the palace is guarded by so many, you know, guards and so forth. So we can assume that in an open space, in a festival environment, there is more chance of success. And because everybody's attention, especially in the Rath Yatra, is on the Lord and on the festivities, then it's easy also then for Arjuna to, you know, make his move, right? Everybody's in a very joyous and festive mood, and so they have their attention and focus on the procession and on the parade and participating in the event. So it's a good opportunity to take advantage of. You know, when there's a significant event, in this case, Mahavishnu rises from his 4 months of sleeping. That's the length of his night. So he rises so there's a celebration. It's the end of the Chaturmasya. It's the end of the rainy season, which is it's somewhat of an oppressive, especially in Bengal. I know that it's one of the reasons why it's good for performing austerities is because one's digestion becomes, you know, one becomes tired and a little listless as a result of the fact that it's so muggy. After the hot season, the rains come. It's very humid. So it's the end of that season, and so therefore it's a festive occasion. And everybody's feeling some relief as a result of the ending of the rainy season, the end of the hot season, and it's a cooler, more less oppressive, shall we say. So, ratasto danuradaya shurams charundato bhatan. Vidravya kroshatam svanam svabhagam riga radiva. Standing on his chariot, Arjuna took up his bow and drove off the valiant fighters and palace guards who tried to block his way. So there was still opposition. As her relatives shouted in anger, he took Subhadra away just as a lion takes his prey from the midst of lesser animals. You know, if you've seen those safari movies, you know, the wildlife movies, you sometimes see the lion just casually sort of strolls. Of course, the other animals are not going to get in his way because they might be in his jaws too. So, you know, very regally and very majestically the lion rules the jungle. So similarly also Krishna took Subhadra away. Tatshutva kshubito ramaha paravaniva mahash maharnavaha grihita pada krishnena suridbish chanusantvitaha. When he heard of Subhadra's kidnapping, Lord Balaram became as disturbed as the ocean during the full moon. But Lord Krishna respectfully took hold of his feet and together with other family members pacified him by explaining the matter. Balaram must have realised at this stage there was not much he could do about the situation. Prahinot paribahani varavadvo mudabalaha mahadhano paskareba ratasva narayoshitaha. Lord Balaram then happily sent the bride and groom very valuable wedding gifts consisting of elephants, chariots, horses and male and female servants. Balaram, it appears, was easily pacified by Krishna and Vasudeva and Devaki. And when he realised that the arrangement had Krishna's sanction and was also the desire of his mother and father, then what could he do? So therefore, he happily sent the bride and groom gifts and presents on the festive occasion. Sri Shukuru Vacha Krishnasya Sid Dvijasrestaha Sruta Deva Iti Srutaha Krishnaika Bhaktya Purnartaha Santakavira Lampataha. Sukadeva Goswami continued, there was a devotee of Krishna's known as Srutadev, who was a first-class brahmana. Krishnasya Sid Dvija Srestaha, a first-class brahmana. Dvija Srestam is the best of the twice-born. Dvija. Srutadeva Iti Srutaha, he was known as Srutadev. Krishnaika, he was a Krishnaika Bhaktya, which means he was only a devotee of Krishna. Right? Krishna Eka, Krishna alone, Bhaktya. His devotion was focused on Krishna alone. Purna Arta. He was fully satisfied. Shantaha. He was peaceful. Kavir, learned and discriminating. These are qualities of a devotee. Alampataha, not desirous of sense gratification. Perfectly satisfied by rendering unalloyed devotional service to Lord Krishna, he was peaceful, learned and free from sense gratification. Qualities that we should note. Krishna Aika Bhaktya Purna Arta Santa Kavir Alampataha. Satisfied by serving Krishna. Peaceful, Kavi, learned and discriminating. Alampataha, not desirous of sense gratification. The qualities of a devotee, desirable qualities of a devotee. And for one who focuses their attention on Krishna alone, and these qualities will naturally manifest in due course of time. Sa uvasa videheshu mitilayam grihashrami anihaya gataharya nirvatita nijakriyaha. Living as a religious householder in the city of Mitila, within the kingdom of Videha, he managed to fulfill his obligations while maintaining himself with whatever sustenance easily came his way. The kingdom of Videha. Whose kingdom is the kingdom of Videha? Anybody know? Who came from Videha? Rukmini. Bhishmaka. Who's the king of Videha? So, he was a householder. He fulfilled his responsibilities. Here it says here, Grihashrami, as a member of the regulated order of family life. Anihaya, without endeavour. Agataha, came to him. Aharya, by food and other means of sustenance. Niravartita, carried out. Nija, his kriya obligations. It's interesting. On one occasion, or more than one occasion actually, Prabhupada's disciples encouraged Prabhupada to invest money for the future. You know, invest funds to make more money. And Prabhupada rejected the idea. He said, no, a brahmana is a person who receives gifts in charity in the morning, and by the evening he's given them all away. As prasad. And automatically he's looked after by Krishna, because whenever he is distributing liberally Krishna's prasadam, then more persons will come along to them, want to offer, which he will then offer to the Lord and then give away again. This is the mood of a... This is the mood of... Dadati pratigrinati. No. What is it? That's not correct. Yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dadati pratigraha. Prabhupada explains that this is the duty of a brahmanas, of the brahmanas, is to perform sacrifice and teach others how to perform sacrifice. To study the Vedic literature and teach others. And to give in charity and to receive in charity. These are the principles by which the brahmanas work. And you can see that's basically the principles upon which the Krishna consciousness movement stands. You know, we're actually a brahminical culture. We're trying to establish brahminical culture. And here, very much, as is mentioned here, griha ashrami. And it's interesting that it's meant, the translation here is, as a member of the regulated order of family life. So most of us will be grihasthas. And one of the items, or one of the principles of grihastha life, is sense control. As much as it is for the other ashrams, actually sense control is meant for the brahmacharis, for the vanaprasthas and for the sannyasis specifically. But especially for the householders, sense control is required, because, you know, householder lives in an environment where Sense gratification is available. For the brahmacharis and the sannyasis, then sense gratification is very limited. But for the householder, there's always the opportunity for sense gratification. But one of the important principles for householders is sense control, because even though the opportunity is there, the regulated householder controls that tendency for sense gratification by practicing or renouncing the inclination or the tendency towards sense gratification by following the regulated principles of devotional life. So really, you know, the regulated order is really everybody, actually. It's emphasized for the householders because they have an opportunity for a license, Prabhupada says, a license for sense gratification. But even that's within restrictions or within guidelines, shall we say. You know, just like Prabhupada gives the example, you know, when you're driving on the road, you have to obey certain rules. You know, you could just hop in your car, put your foot flat to the floor and just roar off down the street and just, you know, ignore the stop signs, drive on the wrong side of the road, do a few wheelies, show off your prowess as a motor car driver, you know, then hit a tree. So, when we drive our motor cars, we all agree to abide by the rules. Otherwise, there'd be chaos. So, you could conceivably drive like an idiot. But that's not recommended. It's dangerous. So similarly also, the householders follow the... In fact, Prabhupada also gives the example, if an animal is walking along the street and they don't stop at the stop sign, or they don't drive, you know, they don't... This is like in India. Actually, in India you see very often this, you know, that what happens when people don't follow the road rules. In fact, in India you'd probably be forgiven for thinking that there weren't any road rules. Because, you know, you'd be driving down the highway and all of a sudden a bus is coming at you, you know, on the wrong side of the road with its lights on, blowing its horn. And, of course, you often have, you know, even in the cities, even in Delhi, you'll see it. You know, there's cows just walking, casually walking down the road, you know, on the wrong side of the road, just in oblivion, basically, to any of the road rules. Of course, if an animal behaves like that, then no problem. You know, nobody's going to complain about the fact that the cow is walking on the wrong side of the road and stopping all the traffic. I'll just tolerate it. But if it's a human being, because in a human form of life, we're supposed to have some intelligence and understanding of things, the proper understanding of things. One is meant to then obey the rules. Know the rules and obey them. So, Papa says this is an example. In a human form of life, there's a greater obligation or a greater responsibility. Of course, that responsibility is to develop a proper understanding of things, a proper understanding of our identity, a proper understanding of who we are, where we're going. And, of course, that's illustrated here by Shrutadev. Right? He's living a very regulated lifestyle, worshipping the deity, receiving in charity, giving in charity, just like we do. We're receiving contribution, support from our members. We use that support to worship the deity in a very opulent and gorgeous way. Cook prasadam in an opulent sumptuous fashion. Actually, Prabhupada encouraged this. When you think about it, Prabhupada encouraged this. And this is our culture. This is why the Hare Krishna movement is known as the kitchen religion in one sense, because, you know, you're given in charity, you then worship the deity very opulently, offer nice bhoga, which then becomes prasadam, and then you distribute the prasadam to others. Then what happens when people come to the temple? Then they're inspired by that arrangement, and they want to give more. They're also inspired by, because basically this is sacrifice. You know, we could just take all of the, and sometimes this happens in temples, you know, the people who manage or run the temple, they take all the money for themselves. Sometimes it happens like that. Of course, usually what happens then, the deities are neglected, the prasadam is very minimal, and then nobody wants to give any more. But when the devotees receive the gifts from the supporters, from the members, and then they worship the deities very nicely, they distribute the prasadam, they demonstrate this principle of sacrifice, and that inspires others to want to sacrifice more and give more. This is the principle of sacrifice. Right? And when people see that the devotees are responsibly utilizing the fruits of their work in worshipping Krishna, then that when they come to the temple, they are inspired. And you can see that when we come to the temple, we get inspired too. When we see, at greeting the deities, when we see the deities worship very gorgeously, then it's an inspiration for the devotees, very uplifting, very inspiring. Just as the devotees teach how to chant Hare Krishna also. And by chanting Hare Krishna, they also become inspired. So that example encourages and enthuses others to also chant Hare Krishna. And then when people participate in that culture of sacrifice, then they also become inspired. You know, they realize, actually it's not me, but it's Krishna. It belongs to Krishna. So it should be used in Krishna's service. So therefore they give it to the brahmanas, who then use it in Krishna's service. And of course, as Prabhupada points out, you know, when you're the servant of the king, then automatically you share in the opulences of the king. You live in the king's palace, and you can share his meals and so forth.
All the facilities.
Sorry?
All the facilities.
Yes, all the facilities. Of course, we don't think it's our facility. We think it's still the king's, or Krishna's. Krishna is the king, basically. He's not a king. He's the emperor. So the religious householders, brahmanas, brahmacharis, sannyasis, certainly those who are living in this culture of Krishna consciousness, which is very much brahminical culture, then when they perform their devotional service in this way, then Krishna reciprocates by sending along others who... And we see that in this case, Srutadev, as a religious brahmana, then he was... It mentions here, he managed to fulfill his obligations while maintaining himself with whatever sustenance easily came his way. So it wasn't difficult for him. Yatra matram tvaharahar daiva upana mityuta nadikam tavata tushta kriya chakre yatochitaha. By the will of Providence, he obtained each day just what he needed for his maintenance and no more. Satisfied with this much, he properly executed his religious duties. Purport. An ideal Vaishnava Brahmana, even if encumbered by the ties of family life, should work only as hard as required to meet his obligations. Without being unnecessarily agitated for material advancement, he should devote the best part of his time and assets to his higher duties in the Supreme Lord's service. If a householder can succeed in this program, despite the unavoidable difficulties of this degraded age, he can expect Lord Krishna's personal attention. As will be seen in the case of Srutadev, the perfect Brahmana of Mithila. So, for one who sacrifices their existence for Krishna's pleasure, then Krishna takes special care of that devotee. He pays attention to that devotee. And that's illustrated in this story because Shrutadeva was so dear to Krishna that Krishna went out of his way to go and visit him. Huh? This is a challenge for the devotees. You know, for those who sacrifice everything for Krishna's pleasure, then Krishna actually takes special care of those devotees. What's that? There's a verse. No, that wasn't the one I was thinking of. In the Bhagavad Gita. I carry what they lack. I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. What's that verse? Anyone know that one? I should know it, but I've forgotten it. All right, this is an important point. I think it's in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Vakshaham Vihami Aham or something. I can't remember exactly that. Yogakshimam Vihami Aham. So for one who, you know, really dedicates themselves to Krishna's service, then Krishna becomes obliged to that devotee and he will look after him. And of course this is a great challenge for the devotees, because in one sense, you know, surrendering to Krishna means giving up one's personal aspirations, and that means then taking a risk. You know, will Krishna look after me? Who will look after me? If I just serve Krishna, then will I be maintained properly? Who will feed me? And one of the symptoms of the brahmanas, one of the symptoms of those who have the brahminical traits, is that basically the brahmanas have strong faith that Krishna will protect them, that Krishna will look after them. You know, they don't worry too much about their future maintenance. Will I be fed tomorrow? Will I be clothed tomorrow? Will I be sheltered tomorrow? And so therefore they're not inclined to then, you know, stash something away for the next day. I'm thinking about that, you know, when I'm 64, will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? So, you know, the devotees don't worry about, am I going to be fed tomorrow? Especially around here, we don't have to worry about getting fed tomorrow. Krishna is feeding us quite amply. We can tell by the rosy cheeks of the devotees. Just wait, you've only just started. You're not even in the primary school, you're in the infant school. So for the, and of course this is Shraddha, faith. First ingredient actually in devotional service is to have faith. Ado Shraddha. That faith that God is, that God exists, at least in this day and age, you know. In Vedic India, in Vedic culture, there's no question of God's existence. People just don't even think about it. It's just, and it's like a given. But, you know, in the Western culture, there's all of these doubters. We have a history of a philosophical culture of doubt. That God even exists. Mm-hmm. Right? Due to a lack of philosophical understanding. That's what it really, it's a paucity, it's a lack. of philosophical understanding. But in the Vedic culture, and you see it in India, you know, even the taxi drivers, you'll see it with the taxi drivers whenever they go on their trips. Then they, when they go past the temple, they're always bowing, right? You see it. There's one. I mentioned this before. There's one temple near the Calcutta airport that, or when the taxi drivers take you to go to Mayapur, then they're always praying to that tree or whatever it is that's in there. I don't know. So there's faith. In fact, you know, sometimes the devotees say, you know, it seems the way people drive that they have more faith in God than they do in their own skills, for, you know, their own driving skills, because they'll overtake on corners and do all sorts of strange things. So your ride to Mayapur is sort of like, it's the most hair-raising experience of your life. But in that culture, then, you know, the focus is on worship. The focus is on performing one's puja, performing one's duty, if you like. Religious duty is not unheard of or unusual. There are many examples of saintly devotees who, you know, before they would do anything else in the day, they would do their worship, do their daily puja. Because the understanding would be, you know, Krishna is looking after me, so first of all, let me look after Krishna. This is the mood of the devotees. First of all, let me look after Krishna and feed him and dress him and bathe him and do all of the things that are necessary for Krishna's satisfaction, for Krishna's comfort. Then automatically Krishna's looking after me. But that's a challenge. Initially it's a challenge. First of all, to accept that God exists, what to speak of, that he will, you know, in a Western setting, that he will actually provide for you. But here we see in Shrutadeva's example, and also in our own example, actually, in the culture, the Brahminical culture of ISKCON, where the temples are focused on serving the deities and serving the devotees, and doing so in a very opulent and gorgeous fashion, then, and where the devotees are not interested so much in their own well-being, but rather in the service of the deity, and then the service of the deity's possessions or his associates, the devotees, and also in expanding that society of devotees, then Krishna reciprocates with those devotees and gives them opulence or gives them his attention, protection. You know, I was just thinking of, I can't remember where it is, what the name of the deity is, but Japataka Maharaj tells this story of the, there's a king who, somewhere in Bengal, he was famous for his devotion, and I'll abbreviate the story somewhat, but interesting story how the king was being attacked by the opposing army of his, you know, rival, neighbouring king was attacking. Or was it the Muslims? I can't remember. But anyway, he was being attacked. But rather than go out and fight immediately on the battlefield, he said, I'll just finish off my puja first. Mm-hmm. Huh? Do you know the story? Heard the story? Anyway, I'm not sure whether it was...
Was it in Rajasthan?
I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway, there's a story of how the deity basically came out to protect him.
Yeah.
I can't remember whether the deity was carrying cannons, or there's another story where he was riding the king's horse, and they all thought the king had gone out to fight the battle. But the king had actually just been doing his puja. Yeah, there's many stories. Anyway, we can mix them all together and make a new story. But anyway, the principle is that, you know, that Krishna actually was prepared to go and fight on his devotee's behalf. Because the devotee was had fully surrendered his life to protecting Krishna, then Krishna goes out of his way to protect the devotees. And so that's why he says, you know, I preserve what they have, or I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. So in this story, in this pastime of Krishna visiting Srutadev, Srutadev was such a devotee and so dedicated to Krishna's service that Krishna went out of his way with, it's mentioned actually that he went with a group of sages. Narada Muni went with him. Vyasadeva was with him. There were all of these very, very saintly personalities were all travelling with Krishna on his chariot, and they all went to see Srutadev. What's unique about this story is that they all also at the same time went to see the king called Bahulashva. So there was two parties, but all Krishna and the same sages. They manifest in two places. And because Bahulashva and Srutadev were such great devotees, then Krishna went to visit them. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? He not only took guidance from Krishna, but Krishna drove his chariot for it. Yeah, good example. Yep, very good example.
Krishna gave his,
at the risk of getting in trouble with Balaram. Yes, Krishnagaja.
I was reading something interesting. In the big point we were discussing, Krishna seemed to be very lusty with Subhadra.
Yes.
But it isn't that Arjuna was lusty with Subhadra. And that just like an Arjuna went to attend the town and saw the Apsara.
Yeah.
But he wasn't at all agitated.
Yep.
No, she was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Arjuna wanted Subhadra because she was connected with Krishna and he wanted to
Yeah. Good. Anything else? Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Harinam Sankirtana Ki Jai.